Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This has been ratcheting up, and I obviously helped to contribute ratcheting up. I want to make clear that in my choice of words, I think I unfortunately gave an impression that I was maligning the Cambridge Police Department or Sergeant Crawley specifically. And I could have calibrated those words differently. And I told this to Sergeant Crawley.
The president said the police there acted stupidly.
The president basically regretted the fact of how worked up this comment got the media.
Was his heart broken by it?
Example of the unfinished business of America.
Story about black and white that was never black and white.
There have to be larger conversations about this.
He is not backing down.
I wasn't angry, wasn't frustrated. I was sad.
It is not racial profiling.
He's the, if you will, the Rosa Parks of racial profiling.
Race.
This is incendiary.
Darling, you send me.
I am so tired of this 60s con job. I don't know about you. You want to have a larger conversation about race? Go ahead. Give me a call here. 1-800-449-8255. We have a black president, at least 50% black. The last I checked, he was 50% black, but they call him a black president. All right, we'll go with that. And it's still not enough. We still need a conversation about race. So let's have a conversation about race. Why don't you call the show and tell me what you've paid as a result of racial politics in America? Why don't you call this show and tell all of America how affirmative action has sidetracked you because you are not a minority? Why don't you call this show and talk about the extortionist taxes that you've had to pay to support people who won't work, or people who came here illegally, or prison populations that are one-third illegal alien? You want to have a bigger conversation about race? Go ahead. That's what the liberals want. That's what the liberals are going to get. Let's have that bigger conversation about race right now. I am sick of this. This professor is a 10th-rate con man as far as I'm concerned. And let me tell you something. I have a real PhD, a real earned PhD. Does that make me a great scholar? No. Does it make me greater than Einstein? No. But I'll tell you right now, I know scholarship from fraud. The guy is a faker from the top to the bottom. This guy got everywhere using race and using race baiting, as far as I'm concerned. And by what I can tell, by reading the police report and by what I heard, the guy caused the whole thing himself. Now, let's look at old Mr. Gates. Excuse me, Professor Gates. You're not going to believe this. Gates has been an outspoken critic of the so-called Eurocentric literary canon. That means Shakespeare. That means Molière. That means anybody who is not, any white writer, any European writer. That's called the Eurocentric literary canon. Instead, Gates insists that black literature must be evaluated by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin. What does that mean? How do you evaluate literature by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin? That's double talk. And the reason I say it's double talk is because Gates is a prostitute, in my opinion. He was a witness in a trial in Los Angeles, I believe, on behalf of the controversial Florida rap group Two Live Crew in their obscenity case. Gates, the distinguished Harvard professor, had the nerve to argue that the pornographic material that this group used, the curse words, the vile words, the words that we all know to be profane, Dr. Gates, insisted that this profanity had important roots in African-American vernacular, in African-American games, and literary traditions and should therefore be protected. So in other words, the next time you hear MF, or the next time you hear MF, FF, FF, MF, FF, FF, MF, FF, you're not hearing profanity. What you're hearing, according to Professor Gates, is not profanity at all. The MF that you're hearing is actually, well, it's a cultural tradition from Africa. And it's part of the black cultural voice. And if you don't accept the word MF in every other sentence out of a song, you are an intellectual racist, according to Professor Gates. So don't tell me who Gates is. I've met the Gateses in my life. If you want to know who Gates really is, listen to Reverend Wright, and you'll know who Gates really is. If you want to know what actually goes on between Obama's ears when he's not play-acting at being a president, listen to Reverend Wright's sermons. And you'll know why, when there's no teleprompter, the real Barack Obama comes out. So make no mistake about it. We are skating on very thin ice with this man in the White House. And you've only seen the beginning of it. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Any topic is fair game. But I know this is what I want to talk about. The president knows that he made a mistake. He showed his prejudices by speaking out and calling the cops stupid. He didn't know the full extent of the conversation. And after all, we're all waiting to hear the 9/11 call, because you can hear, according to what I've read, they're so condemning of Gates. Professor Howard Gates, whatever his name. They're so condemning of him. He was so out of control that the newspapers buried the 9/11 call. Nobody will release them, because once you hear them, no one listening to the show, black, white, or whatever, can argue that it wasn't Gates who provoked the whole thing. Okay? Ralph in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, let me say this, why I believe the racial factor is involved in this whole thing, sir. It has something to do with the fact that I hear white people on TV talk about this has never happened to a white person, or this will never happen to a white person. That's why I believe the racial factor is involved in this.
Wait, I don't understand. You think that a white has never been arrested for mouthing off to a cop?
Racial profiling, as we define it in this country, or as it applies.
Ralph, you just said whites could never be arrested this way. Isn't that what you just said, Ralph?
No.
Have you never watched the show Cops, where white cops arrest rowdy white people who are drunk or beating up their wife or mouthing off to the cop? Haven't you seen cops have to arrest them?
I did show that the show that you mentioned, but you know, not in.
Well, usually it's white cops arresting white trash, but it has nothing to do with race. It has to do with an idiot who's acting up. In this case, Gates was an idiot acting up. I mean, what would you do if you were a cop and you start having a guy call your name, screaming at you, yelling, and says, "I'll tell your mama," or whatever? You think that's appropriate for a professor?
I do not think it is. But, you know, there is an overreaction on the part of the police here as well.
Well, then I guess the police should never show up to a black call, right? The next time a black calls 9/11, the cop should say, "Are you black or white? Because if you're black, we're not going. Because whatever we do, you're going to sue us." Would that be the appropriate response?
That would not be that.
Now, what would have happened if the woman had called that there's a break-in? And there was a break-in, and the police said, "We're not going there because Gates is black, and he doesn't like white cops, and we're afraid of being arrested or falsely charged of racism." What would have happened then? I guess Gates would have had another lawsuit. So whichever way they would have gone, Gates could have gotten up on TV and screamed racism in a crowded nation. If cops didn't show up, then they're racist. They do show up, then they're racist. Don't you see this guy's used this racket his whole life? How did he go from being not handicapped to handicapped? Did you see that one? When he was shooting his yap off and screaming and yelling, he didn't need a cane, did he? But the minute they put cuffs on him, he became disabled, and he needed help, and he needed a cane. How'd that happen? How did he become disabled all of a sudden? Well, take a walk. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Next time you hear a rap artist, so-called, using the MF word or F word, or any of the dirty words that you know to be vile and disgusting, anti-woman, anti-white, anti-police, it shows that you are an intellectual racist, that you don't have the sensitivity. You have a tone deafness to the black cultural voice, and you're an intellectual racist. Because the word MF, according to Lewis Gates, has important roots in African-American vernacular, and therefore should be protected and respected. That's all. Just shows you how stupid you are to not understand that the word MF is a healthy thing for your children to hear. That to use the word MF in every sentence is the mark of intellectual superiority, and volumes written by guys like Shakespeare with subtlety and such. That's Eurocentric. What you need is a vocabulary of approximately 50 words where every sentence ends in either MF or B it, you know, something like that. In other words, if it ends in the B word or the MF word, and it's limited to 50 words total with no tenses, now you're talking. Now you have something superior built upon the oral tradition. And that is, of course, what you're missing as a white man. All these thousands of words you carry around in your head that you learn from Shakespeare or Molière or any of the writers that you may have grown up on, toss that away. Toss that away. Limit your vocabulary to 40 or 50 words. No tenses, no past, no present, no future, no pluperfect. And end every sentence in MF or the B word or the F word. And I always say, you know what I mean? See, every sentence must be ended that way. Then you have the true African-American vernacular, according to Henry Louis Gates, Jr. And if you don't respect it, well, you need training. You need re-education. You need cultural diversity training. And that's why he's at Harvard. That's where he belongs, because he's smarter than the entire canon of U.S. and European literature. What he has written, what Gates has written, is superior to the Eurocentric culture that you grew up with. Your Eurocentric culture is something of the past. You must evaluate black literature by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin, not criteria imported from Western or European cultural traditions. Because if you don't understand that a vocabulary that's limited to 50 or 40 words, that has no tenses in it, no subtlety, and it ends in either MF or B, if you don't understand that, you're showing a tone deafness to the black cultural voice, and you are probably an intellectual racist, and therefore you need re-education in the Gates of America. That's why he's at Harvard. He's such a genius that they took him to Harvard to teach this stuff to your children. Your children come out brainwashed, hating themselves, hating America, hating the European tradition, hating businessmen. And that is why, because Gates is the man who knows everything. They understand the world you're in? You understand the world that we've devolved into? Do you understand how far we have fallen as a nation that a man like this could be at Harvard University? So there it is. It's all. You want a bigger conversation on race? That's one man's opinion. You just got it. That's all. You want another opinion? You can call me. I'll give you my further opinion on this guy. The cop was a saint as far as I'm concerned. In my day, would have gotten a shellacking with a billy club for a mouth like that on him. The cop asked him for his ID, this and that. The cop wouldn't even talk to him. Show me your ID. What would happen if you did that the next time you were pulled over for something and you started mouthing off to a cop? Give me your ID. You haven't learned? I learned when I was a teenager that if you pulled over, my friend's father taught us this. I guess Gates' father didn't teach him this. My friend's father taught all of us kids when we were 15, we're about to get a driver's license. He said, let me explain something to you. When you're pulled over by a cop, always be respectful, always show him your license, and don't become a wise guy, you're going to wind up arrested. That's what he taught us, that's all. He said, if you feel that it was wrong, you take it to the courts, and you argue it in a court. You don't argue with the officer. How come my friend's father knew that? A simple deli man. An appetizing man. How did he know that? But Henry Louis Gates Jr. didn't know that? I guess they don't teach him that at Harvard. In fact, the reverse is true, is that only if you don't know that, and only if you hate the police, and only if you hate whitey, can you wind up teaching in Harvard. Certainly, if you respect the white tradition, the cultural traditions of European-Americanism, you want to put it to you that way, then you can't be at Harvard. In fact, you can't teach at all. As you well know, because of affirmative action, anybody who comes from that tradition is automatically suspect. certainly couldn't work in the Obama administration unless you could garner from some money. Then, of course, you'll accept it. If you have those biases and you can bring in bags of money one way or the other, all right, then they'll look the other way. New York, Eli, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, how are you? Finally, I get on.
Hurry. You don't have much time. Talk.
I know. Why don't you go to England, get arrested, get publicity in England, let all of England hear you, speak to you.
Because I don't need publicity. That's why. I don't need the publicity. I'll tell you what I am going to do, though. I am not a troublemaker like Henry Louis Gates Jr. See, I could do this. I could go there. What if I went there with 1,000 people? All were allowed in, and they came to me, and they wouldn't let me in. What would happen then? You want publicity? What if I arranged a tour of 2 plane loads of people, 4 jets full of people to arrive at Heathrow at the same time on the Savage Tour of England? And we all arrived at Heathrow, and they let 1,999 people in, and they wouldn't let me in. What would happen then? You think there'd be an international incident?
100%.
Well, I'm not going to do it, though, because I am not Henry Louis Gates Jr. I don't need trouble. No, when England apologizes to me, and they send me a letter of apology, and when the Queen invites me to speak before Parliament, I'll tell you what I am thinking of doing. Someone asked me about it today. I may either book an entire cruise ship with 1,000 fans, mainly people who've contributed to the fund, will get first shot, and I will go over to England with 1,000 fans, and we will hold a press conference at sea every day. We'll give video conferences, whatever. We will give a conference every day on the way to England. And when we get there, there'll be a big, big band waiting for us. And we will then go to England and we'll do a pub tour, etc. Otherwise, I'm not going to England. They can keep their country as far as I'm concerned. If that country doesn't want me, I don't want them. That's all. Many of you have canceled trips. One man canceled $10 million. $10 million worth of machinery orders from England. That's a news story that the puppets in the media should cover. Do you know that my being banned from England is a bigger story than Henry Louis Gates Jr. being arrested by a white cop? Think about it. One man gets arrested, shoots his mouth off, it's an international incident. How about a member of the American media, and I don't care whether you like me or not, I am a member of the American media, third largest radio show in America. I'm banned by a Western nation, and the vermin in the media won't cover it? That's the world you live in?
Savage.
Can't we be sweethearts? Why don't we fall in love right from the start? You're the girl I'm thinking of. Oh,
all right, look, turn
see?
It off, the music ready, the rock and roll. I'm so fed up with this Henry Louis Gates Jr. double talk con man. I can't take it anymore. I've had enough of this garbage. I grew up around these people. I know what it's like. I worked in a university. It's a con. All right, so the guy exploded at the cop, shot his mouth off, did the mama thing. And then, of course, Obama speaks up. He's the great legitimate Obama, the great president. And immediately the president says that the cop was wrong. They acted stupidly. Now, of course, to Obama's credit, now he's backtracking. He realizes he made a mistake. I mean, let's be fair. But it raises an issue of the president's judgment. And is he really ready for prime time? Who is he really? Where did this guy come from? Everyone's asking, how did an unknown senator, no one ever heard of him 2 years ago, you knew who he was? He cured polio? He cured cancer? He invented the transistor? No one knows him. He's president of the United States. I look at him, I see Alfred E. Newman Jr., by the way. I see a guy faking it from top to bottom. Now, there are people who argue beyond that. They claim that he's not even a citizen. And you know it's a huge thing. It's been pushed entirely by WorldNet Daily for 11 straight months. I wake up today and find out that WorldNet Daily is being censored from search engines, buried on Google News. Joe Farah runs WorldNet Daily. He's a friend of mine, I'm proud to say. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks. Joe, are you telling me that the birth certificate links on your site are being buried?
That's exactly right. You know, I remember you telling me how you felt when the UK banned you from visiting, and
yes.
I felt like I could relate to you much better today after, you know, I work on the internet. I mean, that is my
yes.
world, and it reminds me of that old story, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, did it make any noise?
Yes.
WorldNet Daily breaks stories, and there's no search engine to bring them to people, did we actually break any stories? Did we have any impact? And that's the question I've been asking myself today, because I woke up today stunned to find out that, first, you know, people were bringing to my attention the fact that Google had minimized the placement of all of our stories very dramatically, by the way. And then we started looking further, and we see all the other search engines have done it too, Bing, Yahoo, all of them, all in one day, Michael. How does this happen? Is there some...
Well, let's back up. You've been alleging that you're not sure that Obama is a citizen.
No.
What you say, you just want to see his birth certificate, right?
That's right, because we want to establish constitutional eligibility for the president. The Constitution says you got to be a natural-born citizen.
All right, so all of the stooges for Obama, such as the MSNBC crowd, they're holding up a birth certificate. Is that not valid, and why not?
No, it's not a birth certificate. It's called a certification of live birth, and it is, you know, a very inferior product. And the reason it's inferior is because you could get one of these things if you were born outside the country. It was as easy to do then.
Suspect Obama was born in Indonesia or Kenya?
I have never speculated on where I think Obama was born. All I want to do is I want to see the Constitution followed. And that's why, by the way, none of these shows, Michael, that you see, everybody's on this story now. All of a sudden, it's a big story. CNN's covering it, AP. You won't see Joseph Farah on there.
Why not? Joseph, but you're the Farah one who ran with this. You're the one who pushed it for 11 months.
Because I know what I'm talking about, and because I'm not speculating about where he was born. I'm saying he has an obligation to tell us, to prove to us where he was born, just like anybody else who assumes the office of...
Okay, so you wake up today and you find out that your site, WorldNet Daily, has been blocked by who?
Well, Google first. Then I look at Bing, you know, Bing, the new search engine, much ballyhooed. Practically nothing about of WorldNet Daily is on there. Yahoo, it's all different, all in a 24-hour period. And that is what is so stunning. I mean, does this happen by coincidence that all the search engines at the same time decide to minimize our content in relation to others? I don't believe in coincidences.
I don't know, Joe, but I'll tell you this. There's a censorship in America, as you well know. You're one of the few people covering my being banned by England. And I got to tell you, I don't want to turn it into me, but here you got Henry Louis Gates Jr., this fraud as a professor, in my opinion, a complete faker. I've been around this type all my life. Not all blacks are like him. This one is a unique type. For him to say that we have to throw out the Eurocentric literary canon and instead evaluate the black cultural voice, such as rap music, tells me he's full of crap, as far as I'm concerned. But on your website today, you have an article written by Aaron Klein where you say that this man Gates immortalized communist W.E.B. Du Bois. Isn't he the head of the W.E.B. Du Bois Center at Harvard?
Yeah, and, you know, people probably don't remember. I mean, there are a few of us around who remember who W.E.B. Du Bois was, but this guy was a Communist Party member. This guy was a staunch Stalinist. And this guy's happy to walk around today carrying his name on
his... But Henry Louis Gates Jr., it turns out, is 50% white, according to his genealogical searches. And he's also, he says, descended on his white side from an Irish king. How do you like that? No, I'm not making it up. He says in his own book, it's a TV series, African American Lives and African Lives 2. He traced the lineage of notable African-Americans using genealogical resources and DNA testing. And in the first series, Gates learns of his European ancestry. He's 50% white. In the second installment, he learned he's descended from the Irish King Niall of the Nine Hostages. So I'm suspecting he may actually be a cousin of the Irish cop who arrested him.
good chance of that.
So it's actually a family fight that we're witnessing here, Joe.
It is astonishing. You know, I mean, all you have to do is read the mainstream news accounts and just read between the lines, and you know what happened. This guy taunted the cop. I mean, what do you expect to happen? Michael, if you taunt a cop, what's going to happen to you?
I was just saying before you came on the air that at 15 years of age, our friend's father took us all aside before we got driver's licenses and taught us, when you're pulled over, don't mouth off to the cop. Give him a license. Even if you're right and he's wrong, don't fight it there. Fight it in court. But, you know, a guy like Henry Louis Gates Jr. got very far with a big mouth, with using the race card, in my opinion. with constantly screaming race in a crowded nation. So he figured, why stop there?
Well, and you expect that from a guy like him. But what you don't expect, even after our experience of the last 6 months, seeing what Obama's like, we still don't expect the President of the United States to weigh in on the side of the offender against the law enforcement authority. I mean, that is what is so astonishing, that he took sides in this, not having a clue as to what actually happened.
Now, yes, I agree. Now, let's go to Gates. Isn't he a good friend of Cornel West? Who was a controversial advisor on Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March? And isn't Cornel West a communist or a socialist?
Well, he's definitely a socialist. From what I've seen, from what Aaron reported and other folks, you know, Gates is more certifiable as a, you know, extreme left winger than Cornel West is.
Doesn't Gates demand reparations in his African American studies courses?
This guy's as hardcore. And by the way, Obama said he's a good friend of his.
Mm-hmm. Well, so now we know what we're dealing with here. And, Joe, where is this going to end? I mean, Obama's smart enough to have stepped out and apologized for what he said. You think it's going to end here?
From what, you know, I'm experiencing today with this business, I have to tell you, Michael, there's no other conclusion for me to draw than the White House, than the Obama forces are actually involved in trying to stifle what we're doing here at WorldNet Daily.
What do you mean? They called up Google and they told them to what? Block access to WND?
You've seen the turnaround in the media, CNN, AP. All of a sudden, they're all covering this birth certificate business. Of course, they're all,
right.
You know, the way they're doing it is, oh, there's a bunch of nuts out there. Look at this. They believe in the tooth fairy or flat earth, and they believe Obama doesn't have a birth certificate. And that's the way the coverage has swung overnight. Now, coinciding with that, we see all the search engines, you know, dropping WorldNet Daily coverage.
Explain what that means by search engines dropping it. In other words, if you hit Google for a Google alert on this subject, anything that's posted on your site is blocked?
Well, I'll give you a couple examples. Number one, if you punch Obama birth certificate into Google yesterday, you'd have gotten dozens of WorldNet Daily stories right at the top because we were
yes.
covering this, you know, hundreds of stories. Today
right.
you do it, and you'll see Huffington Post and Media Matters, and you won't find WorldNet Daily. You'll be buried.
So we're living in a communist nation now run by Rahm Emanuel and the other minions of the Stalinist brigade in Media Matters. They're controlling the news coming out of the country, coming in and out of the Internet now? You're saying they're controlling the Internet?
No, you called it the government media complex. It's the best three words I've ever heard anybody utter to explain what this is all about. Because you and I, we grew up in a time when we thought the press was supposed to be a watchdog on government. And today we see the press doing the work of government. Actually,
yeah, they become lapdogs. Guys like Chris Matthews on MSNBC are a disgrace. In another time, they'd be arrested for being shills for the government. So, Joe, who else is blocking your site? Google, who else? Yahoo, I would expect?
Yeah, Google, Bing, and Yahoo, we have seen significant evidence on those. Those are the three biggest search engines. We haven't.
Well, what if somebody put in a search for Savage Band in the UK? Would the same thing happen? Blocked anything positive about this? Anything you've published would be blocked too?
Daily, it's going to be in the fifth or sixth or seventh page today, whereas yesterday it would have been near the top. That's
on the birth certificate thing.
Not just the birth certificate thing, although that's where we see the strongest evidence of this pattern. But even
Let's say my situation, Savage UK, would it also be blocked on Yahoo and Google?
I'm more or less speculating that it would be in a lower position today because I didn't, you know, check that specific. I should have.
Well, this is frightening. It's frightening to see that you've spent almost a year asking a single question. You built how many readers have replied to your request for the birth certificate?
Oh, well, we've signed up almost 450,000 people on our petition.
Do you think that they're all on the Homeland Security watch list now?
No, because they don't have their names. Only we do.
But wouldn't they all be considered right-wing extremists by the Obama administration?
they could. I'm sure they'd love to get their hands on that list.
Watch out, Joe. They're liable to rubber hose you or waterboard you.
You know, I've been through this before. You have, too, with the Clinton administration. I think it's probably going to be worse with Obama, but we'll get through it.
Joe, one last point. As you well know, you know very well because you're going to post it first. Saturday night, we're expecting a huge breaking story out of England about what was discovered by my lawyers in England, and they're going to do a major story. You're going to link it up first. What do you think is going to happen when people finally see what was behind banning Michael Savage? You think there's going to be a sea change in this country with regard to coverage? Because right now they're not covering it. You're the only one who covered it.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. But look, you know, right now the press is so controlled, it's almost impossible to predict that they're going to do anything right. When I see the coverage of this issue on CNN, a 12-minute piece, and you got 10 minutes telling you, the anchor's telling you that this is not a story that you're about to see because it's all been debunked before, and then they give 2 minutes to the people to talk about why it is a story. I mean,
Joe, I'm used to this for one reason. I've always been a medical maverick. So for the years that Linus Pauling was proving that vitamin C was a very beneficial nutrient, and the American Medical Association continuously put out bogus studies trying to debunk the value of vitamin C, and any time you went to the media, all you would see is that vitamin C is harmless or doesn't do anything or it's harmful. Then they ran fake studies proving that vitamin E was no good. It's the same thing with real truth, Joe. Anytime real truth comes along, it's like a real vitamin to the medical establishment.
Remember that these people who are trying to put the filters in front of the people, they don't even believe in real truth, Michael. They don't believe
No, I understand. They believe in propaganda. Well, Joe, people have a choice. They can either eat white bread and mayonnaise, or they can eat whole grain bread with something of nutritional value on it. And I believe that WorldNet Daily, I believe the Savage Nation, is the whole grain bread of the media. And if they want to continue to eat valueless white bread from the mainstream media, so be it, Joe. I'm not going to be able to change them, am I?
No, and I thank you for those very kind words. I hope that doesn't mean that I can't ever eat mayo on my sandwich.
Well, I use Saffola mayonnaise myself. I like mayonnaise, but I won't use Hellman's, for example. I mean, that's the road to purgatory. As far that's the road to angioplasty. Let's put it that way. Joe, it's been too long. You know what? Keep up the good fight. You've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who believe that you have a right to ask a question for which there's not been a satisfactory answer. I consider you a friend, and I hope you consider me a friend as well.
This is the time you find out who your friends are, and I appreciate it, Michael.
Joe Farah, God bless you. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation. The time is 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. If you want to talk about the controversy emanating from Cambridge, Massachusetts, of Henry Louis Gates Jr., the renowned African-American scholar, and the poor white trash cop, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
So the police are saying to Obama, you apologize. Obama's saying he's not, they're both wrong. Truthfully, at this point, the Solomon-esque reality is that Gates was an ass. The cop was wrong. He overreacted at the end of the day. Because although Gates was an ass and insulted him, that's not a reason to arrest him. That's the absolute truth. I mean, the truth is, at the end of the day, I don't like Gates's false scholarship. But looking at it from the outside, Gates was wrong to curse the cop, do the mama number, and the cop overreacted, got pissed off, and handcuffed him and arrested him. So where do we go from here? Now, you know, you got to go back to the beginning here. They handcuff Harvard race professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. Obama's plunged into a national race controversy. But who actually triggered this is the question. It's a neighbor and a university colleague named Lucia Whalen who calls the police to report two African-American men wearing backpacks attempting to break into Gates' house. Now, Whalen, the woman, works as a circulation and fundraising manager at the Harvard University Magazine. Strangely, the publication's offices are located only a few doors from Gates' home. So why did she not recognize Gates when he was trying to get into his own home? I mean, that's the real question here. Maybe she should be arrested for racism. New York City, line 7, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a relatively new listener, and I know you have a tendency of talking over people or insulting people when...
Well, that's what you're doing right now. You're trying to set me up so I can't say a word to you, thinking you're going to play that game with me, but it's not going to work. So the thing to do here is just make your case, please.
...with you regarding the Dr. Gates, Professor Gates, because after it was established that he was in his own home and he was not a burglar, he was not a thief, he was not an intruder, what reason did the cops have to arrest him? That was wrong.
Well, that is a good question, but what reason did Gates have to say, I'll talk to your mama outside? Do you think that that was professorial?
No, exactly. What went on in that home?
You didn't answer me, though. Let's agree that the cop overreacted. Would you say that Professor Gates acted in a distinctly professorial manner?
Okay, hold on. But what reason?
No, you hold on. You won't answer a question. I asked you a question. I gave you a point, but you're not listening to a word I say because you're coming into this with your own biases. I'm asking a simple question. Do you think saying to a cop, I'll talk to your mama outside, do you think that's the appropriate response for a professor?
That wasn't the appropriate response. Okay, but
all right, so we can agree that both of them acted like asses, yes?
I agree. If that was the case, then both of them were wrong. But what reason...
All right, we agree, so what's the point of getting mad at each other?
But what was the point of the cops entering his home? He was in his own home, and after it was established that he was not an intruder, he should have left. And, you know, it's all to do about nothing. We should be talking about these crooks in New Jersey and all of these...
That is correct. We should be talking about the crooks in the White House. We should be talking about the crooks in the White House trying to force socialized medicine down our throats at the cost of trillions of dollars. I agree with you. It's a distraction from the actual gangsters who are running the country. You're 100% right, lady. Thanks for the call. I'm glad you're a new listener. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around 2 o'clock tonight. What is that right? So join me.
All right, the Savage Nation. I'm not going to get excited over old rock and roll. I'll play it anyway. Maybe someone likes it. What do I care? Generate excitement over this. Got a country melting down with a con man as president. Gangsters running the Democrat Party off the cliff. And I'm supposed to worry about some loudmouth professor in Harvard and a thin-skinned cop. Did I say it like it is? A loudmouth professor and a thin-skinned cop. Boston Globe scrubs Henry Louis Gates' arrest report from website. Well, that's because it would show him to be what he is. A loudmouth. They redacted it. They've redacted almost the entire narrative section of the original police report, too. So, as I learned when I was 15, if you get stopped by a police officer for a possible traffic violation, what you do is you're polite. Very polite. Even if you're wrongly stopped, you don't start yelling at the cop. You don't call him cracker. You don't say, when he says, please step outside of the car. He said, you don't say, I'll step out and talk to your mama. Otherwise, you're liable to wind up tasered. But I guess Henry Louis Gates Jr. doesn't understand that because he's special. He's a classic special case. Not only is a distinguished professor who deserves to be invited to the White House and run an entire division, he should have a. I think that they should create a new Department of Race Relations in the White House that costs $1 trillion a year. Because we all need to have a furtherance of this dialogue. We need to have a further conference and a dialogue about this. And there's no one better to talk about it than this distinguished professor from Harvard who knows more about race than God himself. So can we end it now? Obama says he's a friend and he doesn't even know all the facts. And he made a mistake. All right, then the next he says he himself made a mistake. He admitted it. Give him credit for that. At least he realizes that the training wheels that he's been riding around on showed. We all know that he's not a legitimate president in that regard. We know he's a faker. We also know he's a president in training. He's about 10 years too soon to have even been a president, but all right, that's what we're stuck with. We have what we have here. It's a president on training wheels. And apparently, when they took away the teleprompter, you saw the training, the president in training, the PIT. So what would you like to talk about? We could also talk about the case in New Jersey with the rabbis. I did it yesterday. I mean, you think I'm unfair here. I was merciless toward the rabbis. Merciless. You should have heard the show yesterday. Mercilessly ripped them apart. I said there should be a special place in hell for rabbis like this. Anyone who cloaks himself in religion and uses it to con money is a double bang. I mean, assuming that you believe there's a judgment day, this guy goes to the lowest rung, the lower rung, let's say. It's not the worst crime you could commit. He's only doing what the government does, but we're going to find out, in this hour on the Savage Nation, from a reporter from New Jersey, Paul Molshine from the Star-Ledger, which charities the rabbis were allegedly funneling money through. I want to hear the names of the charities. Sacramento Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, I'm a black man. I live in Lodi, California, and I did something similar to what happened to Gates here a few months ago. I come home, I accidentally put in my duress code on my alarm. I was in the house about 3 or 4 minutes, and the knocking on my garage door, I went and answered it, and there was two police officers pointing guns at me. They wanted to know who I was and if I lived there. I showed them my ID. They then proceeded to check every room and closet in my house to make sure I wasn't just trying to get rid of them because someone was being held.
Oh, so it's police procedure that even if they knew it was Gates, they didn't know if Gates had been, in other words, forced to say go away, in other words.
They reported two men there. Where was the other guy? He could have been held in his wife in the back room just trying to get
rid of. Oh, my God, I didn't even see that. Honest to God, I didn't understand that, Bill.
Promptness. I appreciated their thoroughness, and I did not get pissed off because I was a black man in America. I am so tired of these. My family's full of it, and I'm just tired of these people blaming white men for everything. They need to get off their butts and go out and do something about their image and stop ruining it for the rest of us.
Wow. Well, Bill, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say other than you enlighten me on police procedure. In other words, the woman asked in the last hour, why did the policeman... once she saw the ID not go away. Now you explain why.
What prompted my call.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We won't censor your call. Whew. Mark in Connecticut, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for taking my call. I just want to put W.E.B. Du Bois in context, please. He earned an advanced degree at a time when African-Americans were getting lynched. And the only way I can say it is, if you were to earn an advanced degree during the Holocaust, I really wouldn't hold it against you if you were not a good German. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, I can't follow the logic, but I think it makes sense to you.
What was said was,
W.E.B. Du Bois, there's in the W.E.B. Du Bois Institute for African-American Research at Harvard, and Gates teaches there, correct?
It was said that the scholar... back in the day.
Right, but E.B. Du Bois traveled to the USSR when he called the Soviet system the most hopeful vehicle for the world.
What?
8 years later, Du Bois published the book Black Reconstruction, which offered a Marxist interpretation of the Reconstruction era. In 1950, E.B. Du Bois joined the communist cause in 1950, and he ran for the New York State Senate on the American Labor Party ticket. 8 years later, he joined Trotskyites, ex-communists, and independent radicals in proposing the creation of a united left-wing coalition to run for seats in New York state elections. In 1961, Du Bois joined the Communist Party USA and emigrated to Ghana, where he became a naturalized citizen, living in the country's socialist police state. So that's what Harvard is proud to have as an institute?
Mike, I'm not going to argue with you, but if you're going to put that guy in context, if you're not...
I just did. You asked me to put it in context. I did. So now why should Harvard take a radical communist like him and name an institution for him?
Mike, what was happening to African-American men when he was earning his doctorate?
Well, I don't know what one thing has to do with another. Not every African-American man became a communist and moved to Ghana and began and suddenly held up a socialist police state as a role model.
Mike, I love your show. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, if you don't...
Let me explain. Mark, hold it. I understand what you're saying, but listen to me. We're never going to agree on everything, particularly when it comes to race. I think we're all blind to each other at a certain point. But there is a point at which we can put aside our race and try to use common sense. You and I will admit that Gates is a type of guy that used race to get where he is. Would you acknowledge that or not?
What I would acknowledge was that he was an ass, and you were right. He was
all right, and that the cop was thin-skinned. Would you agree with that?
I would acknowledge that, too.
And you also should acknowledge that when Gates did genealogical research on himself, he found out that he's 50% white and that the white side is related to an Irish king. So you'd have to agree with me that he is probably angry at the cop because he's a relative of the Irish cop.
You know, like, I'm here.
Come on, can't you laugh at a joke? For God's sakes. I would say that that Gates Jr. created intercommunity tension and they should ban him from England. Anyone who starts screaming, I'll talk to your mama outside, is creating racial intercommunity tension. Look what he did in the country. For Obama to come out and say that the cops acted stupidly, Obama should be banned from England, actually, by the same criteria that I've been banned, because Obama said that the white cops acted stupidly in arresting this black man. That has created, not could create, that has stirred up hatred. Obama's remark has created intercommunity tension. And by definition, Jackie Smith should ban Obama from England. I'll be right back. Savage. The crazy nation we're living in right now. It's unbelievable to me. It's like a controlled press. Amazon deletes George Orwell's books. My books are not available on Amazon. The story of an American media person, me, being banned in England, not covered by the vermin in the media. Now we got a president in a hot mess. You got a black policeman who was there and says that Gates acted strangely and he supports the arrest 100%. And Gates is still screaming about race, race, race. So now let's put it aside and talk about something that went on in New Jersey for a minute. And that is the rabbis and the kidneys and the money. Paul Molshine writes for the New Jersey Star-Ledger. Paul, I thought, welcome to the Savage Nation, Paul.
Paul,
let's go into the details here. The rabbis were laundering money through which charities, do you know?
Yes, they were laundering through their own synagogues. They had a bunch of them, they're in a rich section of the Jersey Shore here, and they... Yeah. Pretty much went through their own, you know, they kind of used the synagogues as a money laundering operation.
Well, how does it work? People don't really understand this. Where'd the money originate from? You mean the money originates from illegal activities?
No, there was no real money. What happened was a rabbi by the name of Solomon Webb got nailed in a big federal operation at 06. Amazingly enough, and this could only happen in Jersey, went to the bank and deposited a $25 million bad check. Now, is that whose spot or what? A $25 million bad check and drew $22 million out against it in 06, right? So this guy was nailed by the feds on a numerous multi-million dollar charge.
Yeah, now, who deposits a $25 million check that bounces? But, all right, so he becomes a witness. Now, what does he then tell the feds?
Well, the interesting thing is he becomes a witness after this has been in all the newspapers, right? And everybody knows he's been arrested. Now, these guys must be the dumbest crooks here in Jersey. We got to have the dumbest crooks.
Well, Paul, here's what I don't understand. They said the rabbis were laundering money. Where did the money come from? What money?
Here's what happened. DeWeb went to them and said, I have so-and-so. I have this much from an illegitimate business. I have this much I have to hide from a bankruptcy, and so on. And it was a sting. It was entirely a sting at that point.
Oh, so there was no illegitimate money to begin with, so they set the people up. It was basically trying to entice people through greed. All right, so let's say they go to Rabbi X and they say, we need $1 million washed through you. What does the rabbi do then?
He basically would take the cash and agree to, say, 6 months down the road after maybe your bankruptcy is cleared or whatever, send you back a legitimate check for $980, right? Say $980.
Oh, let's so he get wait. They give the corrupt rabbi $1 million.
Yeah, he might give $1 million in cash, and then, you know, 6 months later, he gets back a nine.
Oh, so this was a, a setup by the government. Now, that leads me to the next question. Why did the government spend 10 years on this case? What's so big about it? Why is it such a big deal?
I don't know where the 10 years came from, but I read all the complaints, and they were all in 07, 08, and early 09, when this guy was a rat. This guy was the Energizer Bunny of rats. When you read this complaint, this guy just went around New Jersey stinging one person after another. Most of
them were
politicians.
he set rabbis up by, through greed, basically.
Yes. He got a lot more politicians than rabbis. He got about...
Well, that's because there are more politicians than rabbis, just statistically.
Yeah, and the two had nothing in common except for him. He happened to go into both worlds. He went to the rabbis...
So these guys got induced through greed, and the Fed set him up through a sting, and that was the end of the story. I think some of them are probably going to get off the hook saying that they were just set up, and they didn't even know that the money was not illegitimate, right?
Fed prosecutions very rarely fail, and I wouldn't expect anyone to get off, having read these complaints.
Why is New Jersey so corrupt, or is it just people in New Jersey are stupid and they get caught more? In other words, are other states just as corrupt, Paul?
Yes, but only a couple, Louisiana, Chicago, and New York.
How about California? Is California relatively more corrupt or less corrupt, in your opinion, by what you've read?
San Francisco is really bad. One of my best friends, who's now the leading expert in money laundering on Wall Street, used to work for the San Francisco DA. San Francisco's really bad. I mean, the funny part is they think San Francisco is real squeaky clean, but they've got a history of corruption that rivals New Jersey's.
Really? In such a clean, liberal city as San Francisco, where you can't get a plastic shopping bag, there's corruption, Paul?
Oh, God, my friend could tell you stories. You know, he was on San Francisco
DA. I thought this was the cleanest city in the world. Where you see men riding the bicycles and the girls have green hair and nipple rings and they're so concerned about global warming. How could there be corruption here, Paul?
Well, you know, you got the same old kind of old city apparatus that we have here. And East San Francisco is a very old city. And, you know, these apparatuses, they become entrenched and they just grab stuff, you know. And there's a lot of it going on in San Francisco, quite a bit.
Well, no wonder they're so liberal. As you well know, extreme liberal policies are often related to corruption. That's so that people don't look too closely. The whole attitude of liberalism is leave us alone and we'll leave you alone, and that's because they can continue to rob you blind.
And putting a lot of money into the system. See, I live in a small town in Jersey, and we are so tight in my town, you couldn't possibly steal money. I mean, you got to take your own recycling to the recycling center. Everybody knows where every nickel is. And the small towns in New Jersey, which is most of the state, are very clean. The problem is we've got these big cities where they take all of our income tax money and they put it into these big cities, Jersey City, Hoboken. These places are legendary. And these guys just take this money and they laugh at the rest of us. And in my job in the newspaper, I just continually say the way to cure corruption is not give them the money in the first place.
Yeah, but that sounds like the federal government taxing us to death and spending it in big cities, exactly the way you're talking about. They rob from the worker and they give it to the non-worker, and then they take a sort of vig off the top. Paul Molshine writes for the New Jersey Star-Ledger. He's reporting on the corruption case in New Jersey. Paul, when is your article coming out?
Well, I got one coming Sunday talking about it, and then I've got a blog post up on my blog at NJ.com pointing out that we have the real cause of the corruption. It's called Guns Don't Cause Crime, Diners Cause Crime.
There you go. That's right. If they weren't in the diners, they couldn't be held up. So it's the same thing with the cop. If the cop didn't show up at Gates' house, there would have been no controversy. Thanks for the call to the Savage Nation. When I come back, we'll talk about cop profiling by minorities.
Savage. Boom, boom, boom.
White House is like New Jersey with a White House. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Think of New Jersey and then think of the White House, and you'll understand what's going on, and you'll understand why they're so anxious to push health care reform. Because never in the history of mankind has more money been made illegally than through the health care system in the United States of America. So now if you can take that on from a local level to a federal level, it's unlimited dollars. It's like an oil well in your backyard. $10,000 for an aspirin is nothing compared to what's coming. On the issue of global warming, India, the top scientist for the environment in India, Jarem Ramesh, the Indian environmental minister, has rejected the scientific findings of global warming, saying that the developed world is needlessly raising alarm over melting Himalayan glaciers. Go tell that to Al Gore and the idiots who believe that man is about to become extinct unless he drives around in a rubber band driven car that he winds up himself in his split-level living room. So India told Hillary to take a walk, that they're not going to do anything to control global warming. They told her to go home in her pantsuit and never come back. But you didn't read that in your local paper. Instead, you read that Sarah Palin is this, Sarah Palin is that, blah, 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 blah. Here's another story on michaelsavage.com. Muslims in UK could get their own police force. That's nice. Muslims in the United Kingdom could get their own police force. You talk about racial profiling. It's reaching a point in England where Muslims now want cops who are Muslims only. Don't you love that? Because non-Muslim cops apparently are racist. They don't understand the subtlety of the Muslim canon, I guess. C-A-N-O-N. Don't misinterpret what I just said. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Any topic is fair game. Let's move on. Chicago, Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say that I think that the Cambridge pigs did act stupidly, because if they were inside his house, which I believe they were, I think it would have been pretty clear to anybody who has any power of observation whatsoever that the man really was a Harvard professor, that he was really angry, and that he said that I'm going to make a big deal out of this. Now,
oh, wait, hold on. I understand you hate police because you called them pigs. I understand that you have a bias. I understand that you're one of the Bill Ayers crowd from Chicago. All right, you're entitled to hate police. But let's review what an earlier caller said, Mike. Let's just be reasonable for a minute, if that's possible. According to police procedure, they go to the house. There's a report of a break-in. He shows the ID. Then he gets mad at them. And that he tells him to leave. And the cop says, please step outside. He gets even more irate. And he starts to scream and yell. Now, you may ask, why did the cop insist that he come outside? Isn't that what you're saying, that that's where we suddenly all disagree? Isn't that the point at which the argument begins?
Look, after he shows his ID, the matter is finished. And if
Hold on. Didn't you hear the caller who said that according to police procedure, it's not finished because the owner of the house could have been, in essence, been blackmailed, or I don't know the right word to use. In other, they could have been holding his wife hostage in a closet, saying that if you don't tell the cop to go away, we'll kill her. The cop has to actually go in the house at that point and look around to see what's going on. That is police procedure, according to what I learned, Mike.
Well, if he's following them out of, what I heard was that they were leaving, he followed them out of the house and was yelling at them. And instead of just getting in their car, cooler heads should have prevailed. They should have just said,
Why, if you are so rational all of a sudden saying cooler heads, why would you call police pigs? Why would you use such a 60s charge term and imply that all cops are pigs? Why would you use that phrase?
Well, some police officers don't like being called cops.
No, but why would you call them pigs?
Because they behaved like stupid police officers.
You mean all cops are pigs to you?
Driving away. No.
Mike, all cops are pigs?
No. I said no, they're not.
Well, you used the word the pigs acted stupidly.
They were stupid. Therefore, they were pigs instead of just...
But Patty Hearst and her gangster friends called cops pigs. Don't you remember that era? You're from that era, aren't you?
Actually, it's a little before my time, sir.
Well, you fit right in with the Bill Ayers crowd. I'm sure that you sympathize with them. Are you of the impression that all blacks are oppressed in America?
Can I ask you a simple question?
No, I'm asking you a question. Are you of the impression that all blacks are oppressed in America?
Absolutely not.
And that all cops are pigs?
One incident, sir.
Are you of the opinion that all Hispanics come here to work?
Dr. Savage?
Are you of the opinion that all Latinos are hardworking immigrants?
You're
unfairly picked upon? Because that's what it sounds like, I mean, by your stereotypical statement that all cops are pigs. Come on, Mike, be realistic.
I use that.
You must know somebody in your life who's not a pig, who's a cop.
What I'm saying is that when police officers behave stupidly, they earn that term. And they were stupid because...
Would you permit your sister to marry a police officer?
They were inside his house. If they couldn't...
Mike, would you permit your sister to marry a police officer?
They couldn't find a toilet seat in their bathroom.
Mike, would you permit your sister to marry a police officer?
How is that relevant to what we're talking about?
Well, because it's a loaded question. It's facing you... It's giving you back a mirror of what you said about police. I'm asking you a question. What if your sister came home with a man and you found out he was a police officer and she said she was in love with him and wanted to marry him? How would you feel about that? Would you say he's a pig?
Let me just tell you something. I know police officers. I hang out with some police officers. They're not all pigs. I've already told you that twice now.
You mean some of your best friends are police officers, Mike?
Best friends, but they're definitely acquaintances that I hang out with.
That's amazing, because it used to be said in the 60s, racists would say some of my best friends are black. So what you don't even realize is that you're actually a racist of another kind. Or shall we say you're a piggist?
What I am is I'm a realist.
Are you a copist?
Realist, and that if I was a smart cop, I would have gotten my car and said, this guy's going to make a big deal out of it. I'm not going to arrest him. That's what a smart cop would do.
But could we agree that Gates acted like a complete ass?
You know what? People act like asses all the time. They don't necessarily get arrested.
Could we agree that Gates shot his mouth off because he thought he was God Almighty and he's been using a big mouth all his life to get where he is? Could we agree that he's a fifth-rate scholar who is a faker from day one, and he's used his big mouth to continue to throw people off the track of the fact that he's a con man? Thanks for the call. Please, please, come on, guys. Let's just move on. Let's move on to the big problems, please. I mean, come on, already, this is over. I want it off the news. Obama made a mistake, okay, but that's not his biggest mistake. He admitted he made a mistake. At least he's smart enough to come out in front of it and say, I spoke too soon. I shouldn't have said it. Let's have a beer. You got to give him credit for that. He is diplomatic. You may not like his politics, but the man is not stupid. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He came out and said, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have taken the guy's side. Now, let's move on already. Can we do that or not? He said he should have chosen his words more carefully. I wish that Bush had said that a few times. The problem was that Bush couldn't have chosen his words more carefully because he didn't know how to speak in three syllables. And so when he said things such as in a two-syllable phrase that broke in half while he was saying it, can we move on? I'm starting to lose the ability to converse as a result of all of this. Let's see. You want me to play sound? Obama says he had a conversation with Officer Crowley. Let's move. Isn't there hard news out there, something big? Nothing big? How about Henry Louis Gates Jr.? Oh, wait, he called him a rogue policeman. Play that one. Is that 6, 7, or 8?
That's a rogue. What it made me realize was how vulnerable all black men are. How vulnerable all people of color are. And all poor people.
You're a poor person, you
like
phony
a rogue
you.
Policeman. And this man clearly was a rogue policeman.
You're a rogue professor, as far as I'm concerned. If it wasn't for stupid white liberals, you would not be teaching at Harvard, Gates. Your scholarship is about as impressive as what my dog could produce. Are you kidding me? You're calling this a rogue policeman? The guy is a prince compared to you. Are you kidding me? Now, what about your neighbor? She was trying to protect you. Listen to clip 8, what Gates says about his neighbor.
I know that she must be intimidated, and she must think that I'm very angry. It wasn't her fault. It was the fault of a policeman who couldn't stand a black man standing up for his rights.
Oh, shut up.
Right in his face.
I can't take this anymore. You know, we've been through this in the 60s. We've been through this in the 70s. We've been through this in the 80s. We've been through this in the 90s. We have a collective enemy called radical Islam, and instead we're still going back to the prehistoric era of we shall overcome. This guy is at the top of the heap. This guy is living on the fat of the land. This guy has a professorship that pays him a fortune, a free house, whatever. This guy goes to conferences that are funded by the federal government, and he's still marching around like it's the 60s and he's an oppressed minority. Can't we move past these fraudulent 1960s con men? Can we please move on? We can. The cops can't. The cops are stuck with it every day of the week. I want to remind you of something just so we can move on. I have on my desk here a memorial card for four dead officers from Oakland, California. We're going to have a nice race conversation right now because the people in the media said we need to have a deeper conversation about race. In my hand is a memory card for Sergeant Mark Dunnigan, Officer John Heggie, Sergeant Irvin Romans, and Sergeant Daniel Sakai. Apparently three of them are of Caucasian background, and one is of Japanese heritage. They were all executed by a black man who executed them because, owing to rules of engagement established by guys like Gates, guys like Cornel West, and the other racial hucksters, when they approached this black man who was out in the streets in a car, and he was wanted for an alleged rape of a 14-year-old girl, as they approached his car, they did not have their guns drawn. Because had they had their guns drawn, all of these wonderful individuals that I mentioned would have screamed that they were racially profiling the poor black man in the car, and that they were intimidating the members of the community of Oakland by approaching with guns drawn, and it was a police state. As a result, the perpetrator of these murders came out blasting and executed the first two officers on the spot, shooting them in the back of the head. They didn't even have a gun out. They did not have a gun out. Then he escaped to his sister's house where there was an AK-47 waiting for him, his wonderful sister. And when the tax squad went to apprehend the perpetrator who just shot two white policemen, he opened fire with his AK-47, killing two more members of the police force of Oakland, California. And so I was wrecked by this. I didn't know any of these guys. I donated, I think, $30,000 to their families. I believe I gave $7,500 to each one of them. Then I found out one of them was not married, so we gave $10,000 instead to each of three of my money to them. See, I put my money where my mouth is. So before you start talking about a poor, oppressed black professor in Cambridge, Massachusetts, why don't you pause and talk about the dead policemen who are dead because of rules of engagement established by the Henry Louis Gates Juniors of America, who have said that every cop is a pig, every cop is a racist, white cops are out to get blacks. Okay, think about it and get back to me. I'll be right back. Savage. All right, now the new headline is swine flu could hit up to 40% in the U.S. This is being put out by the Centers for Disease Control, and it's pure propaganda. And it's the federal government trying to scare you into needing them at the time of a health care reform bill. Don't you see this? Swine flu could hit up to 40% in the U.S., and who's going to save you? Dr. Obama's going to save you because they're saying that without a successful vaccine campaign, you're liable to get the flu and die. So you understand how this all works. The government media complex is operating even with regard to the flu. They're putting out a false story now. 40% are going to get the flu. And that you need their vaccine. The government needs the vaccine. And that they're going to test it soon. I'll tell you right now, I'd go to jail before I take the flu vaccine. I'll lay it right on the line here. If the federal government says it's mandatory, I go to jail before I take the flu vaccine. I would not let them stick a needle in me from the federal government. You like this? Health officials say flu cases may explode in the fall when schools open and become germ factories, and that they need to have vaccines and other measures in place before then. U.S. expects to begin testing on some volunteers in August, with 160 million doses ready in October. They're going to say it's perfectly safe. Anyone who opposes it is a communist or a right-wing fearmonger. But to me, I'll tell you right now, I'm not taking the flu vaccine. Now you say, well, why are you talking about influenza? I'll tell you why, because this could have been avoided almost entirely had Janet Napolitano and Obama not opened the door to a furtherance of this epidemic. Now, do you remember when this started in Mexico? And I went on the radio and I said, this is contained in Mexico, close the borders, put the National Guard on the border. And what? Do you remember what happened the next day in the media? They started screaming that anyone who said that is a racist. Then they covered up their tracks with that. It's a Henry Louis Gates Jr. game. The first rule of a liberal is scream racism. No matter what whatever anyone says that you disagree with, say they're a racist. If that doesn't work, the next day come up with some other syllogism that makes no sense. So after saying it was racist to say close the border with Mexico, then Janet Napolitano, the head of Homeland Security, has the nerve to say it would make no difference if we closed the border and ended tourism, et cetera, and traveled back and forth to Mexico. She said because the horse is already out of the barn. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard, and I said it to you on this show. Why? Because there were many more horses who still had the virus who could come across the border, and they did. They didn't stop coming across the border. This should rightly be called the Mexican flu. Remember, there used to be a disease called the Asian flu, and then they stopped it because they didn't want you to put two and two together that it was coming from Asia. So they gave it like H1903R50902R103. They started giving it numbers so you wouldn't understand that the diseases cross borders. And the way they cross borders is with an open borders policy. The last thing that the globalists want you to think about is a secure border, because then you'll start thinking about your nation and how the gangsters who are running the country have erased your borders, are erasing your language, and erasing your culture. So let's go back again to the swine flu. It started in Mexico with one Mexican kid. In fact, they're erecting a statue to him in the town in which he comes from. I think it's Sinaloa, Mexico. They're so proud of him having started the flu that they've erected a statue of him in his hometown. I forget his name. But let's go back again. This is government mishandling of an epidemic. And now they're going to further mishandle the epidemic by insisting on a massive swine flu inoculation campaign. When, number one, we don't know if the swine flu vaccine works. Number two, we don't know if there are any side effects in certain individuals from the swine flu vaccine. In other words, it's not been tested. But they have 160 million doses ready in October. Now, how much money do you think is going to be made on the swine flu epidemic from the federal level? We don't know. We know billions of dollars are going to be made, not only by the drug companies, but by the providers of the flu vaccine. You see how this works? Disease is one of the best providers of income ever invented. And so that's one of the reasons that you want open borders, is to make sure as much disease as possible comes across the border, because that way you can panic the population and control them with vaccines and government programs, quarantines, and whatever. Because the swine flu virus is new, most people haven't developed an immunity to it. And most of the people who have died from it in the U.S. have had other health problems such as asthma. It is also occurring, it causes rather an unusual number of serious illnesses in teens and young adults, which is very odd in that seasonal flu usually is toughest on the elderly and very young children. So there it is. I gave you a little flu story right now. But the bottom line in this story is this. At the same time Obama is trying to push Obamacare, his CDC puts out a memo that says swine flu could hit up to 40% of the population and that you must have a vaccine, and without a vaccine you're liable to get the flu, et cetera, and you're liable to die. So what are they saying? You need government health care. You need a vaccine. Only the federal government can give you a vaccine. And if you don't pass Obamacare, the implication is you won't get your flu vaccine and you'll get sick and die. Now you understand what I mean by the beware the government media complex. Of course, you could say beware of the government medical complex. Or you could say beware of the medico-pharmaceutical complex. Or, you know, you could keep making up all sorts of things, whatever you want. Again, this is one man's opinion. I'm not taking a swine flu vaccine. I'd go to jail before I took it. That's all there is to it. That's me. It's my decision. I just won't do it. And I'm one of the elderly Americans. I'm not taking it. I'd rather use vitamin C and stay away from movie theaters and Obama rallies.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, the big story today on the Savage Nation was about the cop and the professor, professor of African American Studies, Mr. Gates, the distinguished scholar who apparently has cured polio, solved the riddles of cancer, unraveled the code of DNA, climbed Mount Everest, etc. It turns out that Gates was a witness on behalf of the controversial Florida rap group Two Live Crew. In their obscenity case, he argued that the material the government alleged was profane actually had important roots in African-American vernacular, games, and literary traditions and should be protected. See, that's the level of the professor here. Don't confuse him with some lowly professor. This guy was at the top of the heap. I mean, he's a witness for a rap group. This just shows you how high he is. He's at Mount Olympus. Gates has also been an outspoken critic of the Eurocentric literary canon. You know, Shakespeare, Moliere, stuff like that. He said that black literature must be evaluated by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin. Duh. Not criteria imported from Western or European cultural traditions that express a, quote, tone deafness to the black cultural voice and result in intellectual racism. Now, let's review this and see if we can deconstruct what Gates is arguing. We have to evaluate black literature by the criteria of its culture of origin. So far as I know, Africa had no written tradition until the white man colonized Africa. The last I checked. So what aesthetic criteria is he talking about? Well, I guess if you're a professor at Harvard, you make up your own rules. In his studies, he traced the lineage of notable African Americans, and using DNA testing, Gates learns of his own European ancestry, 50%, like Obama. And in the second installment, we learn he is descended from the Irish king, Niall of the Nine Hostages. So he's actually a cousin of the cop. He's actually a cousin of the Irish policeman. It's a family dispute. You've got to hear some of the verbiage that's coming out of the mouth of the so-called professor, Henry Louis Gates Jr. Listen to the names he calls the policemen.
What it made me realize was how vulnerable all black men are, how vulnerable all people of color are, and all poor people to capricious forces like a rogue policeman. And this man clearly was a rogue policeman.
Stop the tape. Did you hear that? A rogue officer? Obama calls the policeman stupid and Gates calls him a rogue officer? Have you ever heard more disrespect for the men and women who keep our communities safe from criminals? Next, he talks about the woman who called the police. You didn't know anything about the great professor's comments about her. Wait, you're not going to hear it.
I know that she must be intimidated and she must think that I'm very angry. It wasn't her fault. It was the fault of a policeman who couldn't stand a black man standing up for his rights right in his face. And that's what I did. And I would do the same thing exactly again.
You see, it's all about race. I don't even think the good professor realizes what a racist he is himself. This is what a generation of the mental disorder of liberalism has left us with. Petty mandarins who think they can push anybody around because of the color of their skin. Here he is blasting the police again. Listen.
He couldn't come in my house legally without a warrant. He couldn't arrest me without a warrant. Had I stepped outside, he would have slapped handcuffs on me before being under suspicion of breaking and entering. Because he was responding to a profile. Two black men with backpacks were breaking and entering into my home. And when he saw me, he just presumed that one of them was me.
See, according to Gates, it seems there's nothing the police could have done right except stay at the police station and refuse to respond to a burglary call. Then, of course, he could have sued them for not responding because he's a black man. That's the way it is. Now, apparently the president wasn't satisfied with calling the Cambridge police stupid. He came out today and continued to defend what he said. Listen to the president stepping into it deeper.
You still think the Cambridge police acted stupid?
Well, you know, this is a... Terry, I think this is a classic example at a time when we're struggling about health care, energy. We've got two wars going on issues like this get elevated in ways that probably don't make much sense. I respect what police officers do. What I can tell, the sergeant who was involved is an outstanding police officer. My suspicion is probably that it would have been better if cooler heads had prevailed.
Now, that's an interesting one because you can hear that he's starting to backpedal. Notice how Obama stumbles when the reporter asks him the question, but at the end he still says that cooler heads should have prevailed. In other words, in the words of George Orwell in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And then in a press conference later in the day, he said this.
Because this has been ratcheting up, and I obviously helped to contribute ratcheting it up, I want to make clear that in my choice of words, I think I unfortunately gave an impression that I was maligning the Cambridge Police Department or Sergeant Crawley specifically. And I could have calibrated those words differently. And I told this to Sergeant Crawley.
But he was maligning the police department. He said the whole Cambridge Police Department acted stupidly. Listen to the great president again.
I don't know, not having been there and not seeing all the facts, what role race played in that. But I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home. And number three, what I think we know separate and apart from this incident, is that there is a long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately. And that's just a fact.
It's right there for the record. That's what he said. And then in his worst misstep of all, he tries to make a joke out of it. Sorry, Obama, it ain't funny.
He also did say he wanted to find out if there was a way of getting the press off his lawn. I informed him that I can't get the press off my lawn. He pointed out that my lawn is bigger than his lawn. But if anybody has any connections to the Boston press as well as national press, Sergeant Crawley would be happy for you to stop trampling his grass. All right?
Trying to make vile racism into a joke, shame on you, Obama. You're trying to backpedal at the same time you're trying to continue slamming the police. Well, it doesn't fool me, and it doesn't fool 80% of the American people, including most black people. They know what went on here. They've seen this type before. They know the Gateses of the world. They've been around them. I really wish to God Bush would come back. Bush's dyslexia, by comparison, is more literate than this man's false literacy in the sense that what Obama says, although it's spoken well, is more gibberish than Bush's mangled sentences. Does that say it? Does that say it clearly enough? Bush mangled the English language like no one in history in the presidency, right? But compared to what Obama says and what he talks about and how he says nothing, when the teleprompter's not running, I'll take Bush.
The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
The man who killed the American avocado industry. I don't even like avocado anymore. I lived on them for years. I ate avocado, tomato every morning on a bagel for year in and year out. Then years later, I read that, and I didn't know this. I intuitively knew it. There's a must be an Aztec gene or something, Inca, little Incan blood. I lived on avocado smeared on a bagel with tomato. I knew about lycopene 15 years ago. I wrote about it. But you combine the tomato with the avocado, and you magnify the health benefits of either fruit. It was discovered years later. But since the avocados are no longer raised in California, but they're raised south of the border, down Mexico way, and since, as you well know, they fertilize their crops in Mexico with a certain byproduct of the human body, and the pesticide use in Mexico is on the level of any other third world nation, which means it's toxic, I don't eat avocado. I don't enjoy avocado anymore. I only eat organic vegetables and fruit from California. It's one of the things you can still get out here. Thank God there are still organic farmers. God bless them. I love paying a little extra. I mean, reached a point in America you couldn't eat a piece of lettuce. It was like eating a sandal. Every bite of lettuce was like eating a toxic sandal lately for 10 years. I get an organic lettuce, a different story. Still throw away the outer leaves more so that you can feed a pack of hamsters with what I throw away. You could keep a family of hamsters alive for 100 years with what I still throw away with an organic lettuce. I don't care what they say, organic. Yeah, right, I really believe them. Yeah, they put a stamp on it, but I can taste organic because it doesn't have the pesticide smell. And how do you tell if an onion, for example, or a piece of garlic is organic? A, they look shriveled up and horrendous. I've grown them. I just grew a bunch of garlic. The gardeners picked them for me. Shriveled up. They look like Adolf Hitler's one good testicle. That's how small they are. But the fact of the matter is they are shriveled compared to the commercial. Beowulf, did you touch that word? Because you shouldn't have, because I'm going to say it again. If you did, I'm saying it again. Because I'm going to listen in a minute. I grew garlic. I planted it last winter. So finally they were harvested in my little side yard like 2 weeks ago. Then we dried them in the sun. They do look different than commercial garlic in that, as I say, the size of them is equal to Hitler's one good testicle. Very small, very shriveled up. The taste is good, though. Very pungent, very sulfury. Now, how you can tell if a commercial garlic really is organic, even has a label, okay, that's a lie because they smear off the Obama health inspector. But the way you tell is that if the sprout comes out from it while it sits in your kitchen, let's say you don't get to it, and it should sprout, it means it wasn't sprayed with maleic hydrazide. Or same with your onion. You love to see an onion sprout once in a while. That's a healthy sign that it wasn't sprayed and cauterized, in essence. So I love to eat sprouts, onion sprouts, garlic sprouts. Why am I telling you this? Because it's very interesting. It's important. Little things gleaned from everyday life. I know the big and the little. If I tell you Bonnie Frank wants to steal TARP money, you can take that to the bank. Well, excuse me, not to the bank, but you can take that to the mental bank. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. Play some rock and roll. The president knows that he made a mistake. He showed his prejudices by speaking out and calling the cops stupid. I am sick of this! This professor is a 10th-rate con man, as far as I'm concerned. And let me tell you something. I have a real PhD, a real earned PhD. Does that make me a great scholar? No. Does it make me greater than Einstein? No. But I'll tell you right now, I know scholarship from fraud. The guy is a faker from the top to the bottom. This guy got everywhere using race and using race baiting, as far as I'm concerned. And by what I can tell, by reading the police report and by what I heard, the guy caused the whole thing himself. Now, let's look at old Mr. Gates. Excuse me, Professor Gates. You're not going to believe this. Gates has been an outspoken critic of the so-called Eurocentric literary canon. That means Shakespeare. That means Molière. That means anybody who is not, any white
writer, any European writer. That's called the Eurocentric literary canon. Instead, Gates insists that black literature must be evaluated by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin. What does that mean? How do you evaluate literature by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin? That's double talk. And the reason I say it's double talk is because Gates is a prostitute, in my opinion. He was a witness in a trial in Los Angeles, I believe, on behalf of the controversial Florida rap group Two Live Crew in their obscenity case. Gates, the distinguished Harvard professor, had the nerve to argue that the pornographic material that this group used, the curse words, the vile words, the words that we all know to be profane, Dr. Gates, insisted that this profanity had important roots in African-American vernacular, in African-American games and literary traditions, and should therefore be protected. So in other words, the next time you hear MF, or the next time you hear MF, FF, FF, MF, FF, FF, MF, FF, you're not hearing profanity. What you're hearing, according to Professor Gates, is not profanity at all. The MF that you're hearing is actually, well, it's a cultural tradition from Africa. And it's part of the black cultural voice. And if you don't accept the word MF in every other sentence out of a song, you are an intellectual racist, according to Professor Gates. So don't tell me who Gates is. I've met the Gateses in my life. If you want to know who Gates really is, listen to Reverend Wright, and you'll know who Gates really is. If you want to know what actually goes on between Obama's ears when he's not play-acting at being a president, listen to Reverend Wright's sermons. And you'll know why, when there's no teleprompter, the real Barack Obama comes out. So make no mistake about it. We are skating on very thin ice with this man in the White House. And you've only seen the beginning of it. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Any topic is fair game. But I know this is what I want to talk about. Just shows you how stupid you are to not understand that the word MF is a healthy thing for your children to hear. That to use the word MF in every sentence is the mark of intellectual superiority, and volumes written by guys like Shakespeare with subtlety and such. That's Eurocentric. What you need is a vocabulary of approximately 50 words where every sentence ends in either MF or B it, you know, something like that. In other words, if it ends in the B word or the MF word and it's limited to 50 words total with no tenses, now you're talking. Now you have something superior, built upon the oral tradition. And that is, of course, what you're missing as a white man. All these thousands of words you carry around in your head. I talked briefly yesterday about another great article written by Professor Ellis Washington, linked on michaelsavage.com, talking about the decline of the Republican Party, entitled GOP or GIP. I've invited him back on my show to talk about this. Professor Washington, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate the opportunity once again to be on the Savage Nation. What I mean by GOP, of course, stands for the Grand Old Party, which is the old name for the Republican Party. But I did a transformation of that acronym GOP to GIP, which I said stands for the Grand Irrelevant Party. And what I mean by that, Michael, is that the way the Republicans are so cowardly and spineless and weak and showing ineptitude and fear, it's just their party is devolving from the grand old party of bygone era to just basically Me Too. They're like the Me Too Democratic Party, where they just basically kowtow to whatever the liberal Democrats say they should do.
Is the Republicans' irrelevancy due to loss of power or loss of direction?
Yes, that's an excellent question, Mike, and I think it's a little bit of both. One of the things that people don't realize, and you can use, a military metaphor, when one side is beaten by another side, they begin to have self-doubts. And we know this happened with the Democrats when with the Newt Gingrich revolution in 1994, the Contract with America. And the Democrats were kind of second-guessing themselves and saying that they needed to, you know, become more centrist. And they did kind of do that. It was during Bill Clinton's term, and they kind of moderated some of the more radical tendencies and the, you know, the more extremists in the party became kind of quiet as the moderates kind of just held their heads low. But now under Obama, they're coming out in rare form. It's the same thing with the Republicans. We lost with the, as you've said, called McCain the Manchurian candidate. We lost big time under him. And so now Republicans are doubting their abilities. They're wondering what they should do. And unfortunately, the very thing that they're doing or blaming as being causing them to lose, I think is the very thing that they should not be doing. Namely, they're saying that it was the conservatives, that they're too conservative, and this is the reason why they lost. And there's nothing conservative about McCain. He was basically their candidate, their country club Republican type, you know, so-called maverick that always reaching across the aisle. That was their guy, and what happened to his candidacy? It crashed and burned.
Well, what do they need to do now?
Well, Michael, in my article, I cite four basic premises that the Republicans should follow, and I'll just kind of outline them briefly to the Savage Nation. The first one, I said, like Ronald Reagan did 30 years ago when he ran against the bumbling socialist Jimmy Carter, he needs to get Republican candidates need to get about three or four policy platforms on economics, domestic policy, foreign policy, and health care, and get behind the person who can best articulate this focused vision. Secondly, I said, I even wrote a statement that the Republican Party could run on, and this is a quote. I said, characterize Obama this way. Obama is a certified socialist with fascist tendencies. The welfare state he erected has destroyed our civil liberties and has made us all slaves of the federal government. The Democrats have ruined this country economically and made America a joke internationally. If elected, I vow to return America back to the Constitution. And the third point, and this is directly from the Savage Nation, it goes like this. I said, any politician running on the GOP ticket that doesn't have the guts to spend 15 minutes in the crucible of the Savage Nation radio show, in my opinion, cannot and should not represent my country, because I would consider them cowards and duplicitous and therefore untrustworthy when it comes to defending America's vested domestic and foreign interests. And then lastly, I said that we need a GOP candidate that can speak in the authentic voice of the American people, namely freedom, liberty, natural law, constitutionalism, limited government, anti-socialism, anti-welfare, and an American-first foreign policy and domestic policy.
Well, last election, they put up McCain to lose. Where are the candidates for us to follow?
Michael, I'm just as in despair as you are. And a lot of my readers, we have some great readership from that read my column at World Net Daily, and they're so nice, and a lot of them have volunteered me to fill that void, and I tell them, you know, I wish I could, but I, even in my own family, I was only able to get, I have two children, a son and a daughter, and my wife, and I was only able to convince half of them to not vote for Obama. But the women, they voted for him, and so I don't have much of a good track record in that respect, but I can write fairly good, and I'm trying to just hopefully encourage somebody out there, maybe somebody that's not even known right now, to pick up the mantle and to be the voice of conservatism and run against Obama in the 2012 election. But who that person is, Michael, at this point, I have no clue. I know you got Palin out there. She recently quit, and I think she's going to try to position herself as a kingmaker. We'll see where that goes. We got Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. They seem to be about the two strongest candidates, but they both kind of have a negative track record in their past, and so we'll see what happens, but I don't have much hope right now.
You conclude that the GOP needs to bring back their core values or the party will be forgotten.
Well, Michael, the way I said it in the end of the article, and I was trying to be really blunt and speaking from the heart. I say, you know, whether the GOP wins in 2010 or 2012, or whether they lose in 2010 or 2012 will depend on the simple matter of presenting candidates that can stand flat-footed without a teleprompter, without a deer-in-the-headlights look, without saying, or ah, or you know, or the vacuous rhetoric of bipartisanship and my friends across the aisle. I said, Michael, that we don't need another Benedict Arnold or Neville Chamberlain or Maverick, no more Fords, McCains, Bushes, or Upper East Side Country Club Republicans. I told them, Michael, this is war. We need a wartime consigliere. And until we get that, and we're just going to keep getting this ragtag group we have, including empty suits and ventriloquist dolls with lipstick and tight skirts using convoluted sports metaphors just to explain a simple question. And then I said, Michael, enough is enough. So I'm hoping that the RNC and the GOP big shots out there are listening. I think they are, but they're just operating from fear, Michael. They're just afraid of losing. And once you, anytime you operate out of fear, whether you're in a military battle or in politics, or in school, or in a marriage, or anything in life, it's not going to be a good conclusion. So we need people that are fearless, that will do what they need to do, and speak in an authentic American voice that will resonate with the American people.
Professor Washington, thanks again for being on The Savage Nation, and keep up the great work.
Michael, I just want to thank you for once again giving me the opportunity to speak to the wonderful listeners of the Savage Nation, and I'm proud to be a member of the Savage Nation and having the opportunity to speak to you. And I just hope, Michael, more than anything else, more than getting attention from myself or anything, that my writings will resonate with the American people and that they will copy it and send it to other people and send it to their local politicians so that we can affect change and regain America and put our country back on the right track of liberty, truth, in the American way.
I, Michael Savage, will be right back. Savage. Well, let's lighten things up a little here. Here is James Hurston with the latest hijinks going on in Hollywood. James, welcome.
Thanks, Michael. People always have a need to laugh, especially at a time when they see their freedoms going down the tubes. But comedies are different these days. I mean, since the 70s, we've had these juvenile movies. You know, they were a kind of series of dirty jokes strung together in a film, mindless diversions like Animal House, Porky's, There's Something About Mary, and those American Pie movies are good examples. But those flicks at least had some semblance of innocence about them compared to the new, crude, R-rated movies catering to adolescent males that today's Hollywood is contributing to our culture. These flicks coarsen the already struggling Western civilization. The R-rated trend has even caused PG-13-rated comedies to push that outward edge of decency far enough for parents of teens to be concerned. Sandra Bullock's biggest film at the box office is The Proposal, which took in $128 million. It featured Bullock and co-star Ryan Reynolds in a farcical but obligatory nude scene, the first one for Bullock. Filmmaker Judd Apatow has made a career out of pushing the laugh envelope with flicks like Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin, and his latest movie, Funny People, hitting theaters next week. Funny People is about comedians who specialize in shock jokes, played by Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen. Sandler is a stand-up comic who discovers he has a terminal illness. Universal is paying Sandler a hefty sum, but the film's being promoted as the third film from director of 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. In other words, the studio is promoting the filmmaker, Apatow, rather than the actor, Sandler. Leslie Mann, Apatow's wife, who also starred in the movie, joked to the press at the premiere, "There was a lot of filth, offensive filth. It wasn't family friendly. There was a lot of dirty, filthy stuff going on," she added. Well, she's joking, but it's not so funny, especially when life imitates art, like the unseemly news story recently concerning ESPN sportscaster Aaron Andrews, who is being unwittingly featured in a nude internet video shot through a peephole while she was doing everyday tasks in her hotel room, like curling her hair. Andrews is planning to sue somebody. But Apatow says, if you're making these smutty movies, you might as well go all the way and have what he calls a harder R. Well, we certainly have that in the inebriated diversion, The Hangover, about a bachelor party gone bad. It's now the highest-grossing R-rated comedy ever. Its current box office of $237 million passed up the previous record holder, Beverly Hills Cop. That film made $235 million back in the 80s. For a quarter century, no R-rated comedy received more bucks until Wedding Crashers came along in 2005 and brought in $209 million. Katherine Heigl, the smart blonde from Grey's Anatomy, stars with Gerard Butler in a newly released movie called The Ugly Truth, which features lots of profanity, a jello bikini scene, and some, I kid you not, Michael, vibrating panties. The film uses the Battle of the Sexes formula, with two main characters eventually owning up to the fact that they are smitten with each other. And the worst flick on the offensiveness scale is Sacha Baron Cohen's Bruno, a movie that has managed to tick off Christian groups, gay groups, and get banned in the Ukraine. Cohen loves to make fun of patriots, Christians, Southerners, and now Orthodox Jews. Ukraine banned Cohen's film because, according to the country, it would, quote, damage the morality of locals there. The Eastern European country specifically stated that shots of genitals and homosexual sex were unacceptable. Well, why isn't it unacceptable here? Well, thankfully, moviegoers are dumping Bruno, being something I call reverse word of mouth. Look, we need comedies to soothe our troubled souls in the age of Obama and Pelosi, especially in an era where countries ban talk show hosts for no rational reason. I guess we'll just have to rent one of those Marx DVDs. Oh, by the way, that's Groucho, not Carl. Thanks, Michael. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. The entire canon of U.S. and European literature, what he has written, what Gates has written, is superior to the Eurocentric culture that you grew up with. Your Eurocentric culture is something of the past. You must evaluate black literature by the aesthetic criteria of its culture of origin, not criteria imported from Western or European cultural traditions. Because if you don't understand that a vocabulary that's limited to 50 or 40 words, that has no tenses in it, no subtlety in it, ends in either MF or B, if you don't understand that, you're showing a tone deafness to the black cultural voice, and you are probably an intellectual racist, and therefore you need re-education in the Gates of America. That's why he's at Harvard. He's such a genius that they took him to Harvard to teach this stuff to your children. Your children come out brainwashed, hating themselves, hating America, hating the European tradition, hating businessmen. And that is why, because Gates is the man who knows everything. They understand the world you're in? You understand the world that we've devolved into? Do you understand how far we have fallen as a nation that a man like this could be at Harvard University? So there it is. It's all. You want a bigger conversation on race? That's one man's opinion. You just got it. That's all. You want another opinion? You can call me. I'll give you my further opinion on this guy. The cop was a saint as far as I'm concerned. In my day, would have gotten a shellacking with a billy club for a mouth like that on him. The cop asked him for his ID, this and that. The cop wouldn't even talk to him. Show me your ID. What would happen if you did that the next time you were pulled over for something and you started mouthing off to a cop? Give me your ID. You ever learned? I learned when I was a teenager that if you pulled over, my friend's father taught us this. I guess Gates' father didn't teach him this. My friend's father taught all of us kids when we were 15, we're about to get a driver's license. He said, let me explain something to you. When you're pulled over by a cop, always be respectful, always show him your license, and don't become a wise guy, you're going to wind up arrested. That's what he taught us, that's all. He said, if you feel that it was wrong, you take it to the courts, and you argue it in a court. You don't argue with the officer. How come my friend's father knew that? A simple deli man. An appetizing man. How did he know that? But Henry Louis Gates Jr. didn't know that? I guess they don't teach him that at Harvard. In fact, the reverse is true, is that only if you don't know that, and only if you hate the police, and only if you hate Whitey, can you wind up teaching in Harvard. Certainly, if you respect the white tradition, the cultural traditions of European-Americanism, you want to put it to you that way, then you can't be at Harvard. In fact, you can't teach at all. As you well know, because of affirmative action, anybody who comes from that tradition is automatically suspect. Certainly couldn't work in the Obama administration unless you could garner from some money. Then, of course, you'll accept it. If you have those biases and you can bring in bags of money one way or the other, all right, then they'll look the other way. I'm so fed up with this Henry Louis Gates Jr. double talk con man. I can't take it anymore. I've had enough of this garbage. I grew up around these people. I know what it's like. I worked in a university. It's a con. All right, so the guy exploded at the cop, shot his mouth off, did the mama thing. And then, of course, Obama speaks up. He's the great legitimate Obama, the great president. And immediately the president says that the cop was wrong. They acted stupidly. Now, of course, to Obama's credit, now he's backtracking. He realizes he made a mistake. I mean, let's be fair. But it raises an issue of the president's judgment. And is he really ready for prime time? Who is he really? Where did this guy come from? Everyone's asking, how did an unknown senator, no one ever heard of him 2 years ago, you knew who he was? He cured polio? He cured cancer? He invented the transistor? No one knows him. He's president of the United States. I look at him, I see Alfred E. Newman Jr., by the way. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.